T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining us here inside our Bear Sunroom Studios, Marcus Hanel, bullpen catcher for the Milwaukee Brewers. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
So I got to get your opinion because as you start to see guys, Yasmani signs, he's gone. All of a sudden, Moose is gone. Guys aren't tendered. And as you said when you walked in, you said, you know what, individually you can kind of understand it. You know, longer years, Brewers didn't want to do that. Guys that were okay, you don't want to tender offers. But as a whole, you got a chunk of guys now that are gone. You know, you got to figure out, you know, if you're David Stearns and Mark Antanasio, where you're going to spend your money. Because you got money to spend, but, man, you got some holes to fill right now.
Yeah, there definitely is some holes to fill. You know, you look around the roster, you go from catcher to third base to first base. But those guys who are non-tender does not mean that they're not coming back either.
Right.
So there's the opportunity for those guys to see what's out there and then, you know, have the opportunity to hopefully come back. There's some great arms, some great guys there that I do hope they come back selfishly. Yeah. So be a big benefit to that. You know, we don't know what's going on in the front office. We don't know what they have working behind
doors.
You're
in a bullpen.
So we're just, you know, I just wait for a phone call myself. So, but it does make for an exciting offseason, right? There's a lot of possibilities, a lot of hope, a lot of things. You know, where we're at, I don't think, you know, we're looking to just like, just play the game out, right? I think this is, we're in a state now, we've made our brand of Milwaukee Brewers baseball with Craig Counsell, and we look to not just, you know, I heard you yesterday talking about being competitive. Yeah, for us, yeah, we're gonna be competitive. That means we're still trying to win a division,
right?
So and move on.
The word competitive is a bothersome word to me, because for years what we heard out of the organization, you know this, was you wanted to be competitive. And that meant you were trying to win a division. You were trying to be right there with the Cubs and the Cubs. To me, you're beyond that. This is a team that has been really good the last couple of years. What I consider to have the manager of the year the last 2 years has got completely hosed, and that's another topic for another day. But I think that you have a window of opportunity, knowing what you have in Yelich, knowing what you have the last year of Braun, knowing that you've got Lorenzo Cain, you've got an outfield that's established, you've got a pretty good guy in Keston here in infield. You need to bolster yourself at three different positions, first, third, and catcher. And if you add a little bit of pitching in, you go right back to being a team that's going from right now figuring out what it is they're doing to being the team in the division and a contender for a World Series. So to me, that's where the window is. It's not about being competitive anymore. It's about winning the division and being a contender for a World Series.
And as of now, yeah, you look at it like that. But we are not even into the new year yet, so we have to wait until these moves. So I know it's fun to talk about.
I want a Brewers package under my Christmas tree, man.
So, you know, you look at even with our owner, he doesn't like losing, you know. So I don't think there's going to be a team coming into spring training that you're going to go like, oh, man. Like it's going to be out of the movies, out of Major League, like, you know, like that. This is going to be a
team. Hey, if they win it like that, I'm all for it. I don't care.
So, you know, even, you know, 2-3 years ago, you know, no one looked at us to be competitive, and it wasn't until the second to last day we were eliminated from playoff contention, you know. And then, you know, the last year, we in 18, you win the division, and last year we come back, and, you know, we deal with the same kind of guys. We didn't even perform as well, but we got to the playoffs where we needed to get to.
Talk about this team down the stretch. And that was just before and then obviously after Christian Yelich goes down with the knee injury, because it seemed like something happened, something clicked. Now, granted, it's September baseball, and you guys have become masters at sabermetrics and the analytics and using pitchers and such in the right position, but something happened at that ball club where everybody just jumped on a wagon and said, okay, here we go.
Yeah, you know what? I think there was a lot of, during the course of the season, maybe even some nagging injuries to some of the guys, and maybe the guys were just kind of a little like, down on themselves. They weren't performing like they're supposed to. And then in September comes along, and even just before that, I tell you, not enough can be said about clubhouse chemistry and certain guys who just bring a different energy. Brett Suter is a guy who can bring everyone together and just makes the game fun. And when he got there, it just transcends across the whole team and across the clubhouse, and things just change. And yes, with the expanded rosters in September, knowing how to manipulate the game, right. And to use the strengths of all our pitchers and stuff like that. When we didn't have the starting pitcher, we thought starting pitching we thought we would have. Yeah, that goes a long way. Does that change next year now with the way the rosters are going to be? Yes. Man, it was a fun ride. Then the guys have started believing again. Yeah. And it was, you get on that little roll. We got a roll at a good time. Unfortunately, then that last game, and why we had it scripted. Council, the coaching staff, was scripted. We talked about how we wanted to go about doing this game. All right, we're going to go Woody for four.
Did it follow the script?
Oh, the only thing I think hang up, I think they were trying to get Suter to go two innings, I think 5-6. Then Pomerantz 7-8. Suter threw a little more pitches in that fifth inning than we wanted him to. So we went two innings, only one with him. Then Pomerantz gave it all he had. And then we went to Hader. And it's just, I mean, most of the, I mean.
If you watched that game and got up to go to the bathroom, you would have said, the Brewers are going to win this. I'm going to go to the bathroom real quick. I'll be right back, and then we'll celebrate. And in 10 minutes, you came back and went, what the hell just happened?
It was as a shocker, I think, to anyone in our clubhouse and anywhere that, I mean, it was. Man, we just got hit by a sledgehammer. Yeah. It was out of nowhere. You did. You just thought, all right, here we go. Let's get these six outs and let's move on.
Does Hader still have his stuff?
Yeah. Anyone just yes.
Okay. Well, you know. I mean, you're the guy that's out there catching them.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, obviously parameters change. You know, some days you don't have a feel on a certain pitch.
Yeah.
So I think that even that last wild card game, I don't think he had a slider that well.
The only reason I ask is he had a couple of balls given up, some home runs given up, which was last year he was, you know, damn near perfect.
Yeah.
This past season, he wasn't perfect, but he was as good as good gets.
Yeah, you look at his.
You know, so people said, well, he's lost it. And no. I said, you're crazy. Now, he's not Derek Turnbow. You know, Derek Turnbow came in for a season, lit it up. But you knew if Derek Turnbow wasn't throwing strikes, he was done. You might as well get him out of there. He's not Derek Turnbow. He's not at Fires. He's not any of the other guys. He's got good stuff.
No, Hader, I mean, here's the thing. Hader, the first year out of the role he did, most guys weren't familiar with all the stuff that he was going to do. It was heater. The one thing at the big league level, after a while, they know
they
heater's coming. They're going to hit a heater. I don't care how you throw it. The one thing that he started developing last year was that slider and getting guys off that heater. If you look at his strikeouts per K, I think it was like 16 Ks per nine. Like, that's unheard of.
Yeah.
So he's still striking guys out at an unbelievable rate. So when he did give up a hit, yeah, they were extra base hits. They were kind of long ball hits. But that Washington game, he didn't have feel for that slider. So when he wasn't throwing that for a strike to get the hitters off of it. And then he's just a little erratic, you know. I mean, it was a big moment. It just, you know, unfortunately, we just didn't come out on the right end of that one.
So the offseason comes. Everybody gets to get away for a little bit. Did you think Washington had that in them to go in and do what they did in the postseason and beat Houston?
Yes. Yeah,
because I thought Washington, from the way they played from the end of May through the remainder of the season, nobody really talked about them. And I love the fact that they won without Bryce Harper. That's just me. They kind of stuck it in his rear end. But I watched that team, and I thought, this team can pound the baseball. Everybody was talking about the Yankees. Everybody was talking about Houston. Nobody was talking about Washington. And I thought that was one of the better teams coming into the postseason.
Yeah, if you look at when we played them earlier in the year, they didn't have Rendon. They didn't have Turner. Mm-hmm. I think even Zimmerman might have been hurt.
Yep.
Soto, I think. So they had like four of their studs not in there. And so they went for the first 6.5 weeks, 2 months without those guys in the lineup. And then you saw what they could do. We always knew Rendon could, I mean, he's an MVP candidate. You know, Turner on the base pads can just absolutely fly, bat the ball guy, play some great shortstop. And it was, you know, then, you know, these guys, Howie Kendrick off the bench, you know, Zimmerman, these guys, they had a great team. They had a great, and then along with that pitching staff. And their weakness was the bullpen. But the great part about the playoffs is you can kind of hide those guys. Mm. And your starters can kind of move into the bullpen and you can go deeper and do those things. So they're a very scary young team. We knew if they'd get on a roll, they could be very very hard to beat, and they were.
Going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're broadcasting live down here at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek. Marcus Handel, the bullpen catcher for the Brewers, down here with us each and every year. And we thank him for coming down. We're going to talk more with him, going to talk some more baseball when we come back. A lot more of the Bill Michaels Show live out here in Oak Creek at Blaine's Farm and Fleet. We got more right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. We are on the air broadcasting live out here at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek. Say thanks to our friends that have helped us out down here. AmeriCash Loans, also the Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, Prime Cigar Bar in Brookfield, and also Tayback Law, Tayback for the Payback. And they're one of our proud sponsors of the Green and Gold Postgame Show as well. So thanks to them for helping out and being sponsors of the Toy Drive down here in Oak Creek at Blaine's Farm and Fleet on Rawson Avenue. It benefits Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest and so many more, as you've heard. Obviously, the Norris Center as well. And so please come on out and drop off a new unwrapped toy. And we got a lull right now. I hate lulls, man. I always feel that this is it. Nobody else is going to come out and see us. So there's some time. If you're out on a lunch break or you're getting ready to go on one and you want to come by, drop off a new unwrapped toy, do it. And we would love to have you down here. You can drop off cash. You can take your credit card and put it in the dip jar, and you can charge $10, $20, $50, whatever it may be. Or if you're outside of the area and you want to make a donation, please, I encourage you, go to 1057fmthefan.com, and you can make an online donation there as well. And you, this specific show, this Bill Michaels show, you on the network, you people have been fantastic. You have been kind of the cornerstone for the last few years because you guys come up so big with the monetary donations, and last year we topped $150,000. We need to do that again this year. Every year we want to set a record. So if you can, $5, $10, whatever it happens to be, please make a monetary donation online as well. Go to 1057fmthefan.com. Marcus Handel, the bullpen catcher for the Milwaukee Brewers, joining us here in our Bears Sunroom Studios. So we were sitting here talking about last season. So this season, we were talking about the holes to fill. I get the sense that there's pitching that's coming down the pipeline. I mean, I think there has to be. Do you get the sense, though, that you've got Braun another year, Christian Yelich, who, in my opinion, should have been the MVP had he not fouled that ball off of his kneecap. He's got a short period of time. Lorenzo Cain's contract will be coming up in a little while. You've got young guys, but do you feel like does the team feel like there's a window of opportunity here that is open and not closing, but, like, the time is now.
Definitely time's now. I think, like I said earlier, the way we've branded Brewers baseball, I mean, anytime you got an MVP on your team, I don't think those years will be wasted. We have a young Keston Hera who can absolutely mash also someone to protect him in the lineup. So you still have Lorenzo Cain. You're going to look forward to a bounce-back season at the plate. But the injuries that some of these guys played through last year that – was tough on them.
Yeah.
And it's baseball's a hard game to
play.
We got
the sense of Lorenzo Cain.
He was banged up.
Yeah.
He was banged up. So I think him coming back healthy, the way he's going to be rejuvenated, you know, maybe even an edge to something to prove.
Although he got that gold glove, not that he's not going to have an edge, but finally he gets recognition for what he's been doing.
That's been pretty sweet. That was sweet. So I think just to him to get that credibility, all that kind of stuff, even helps mentally, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Again, this offseason's so young. I don't want to, like, the winter meetings haven't even happened yet.
Yeah.
And so I know there's going to be a lot of dialogue, a lot of stuff to go down. And, again, we just can't worry about what other teams are doing. We just got to take care of ourselves, and that's got to be our mindset. And we got to be able to build one another up, make each other better, and compete for another division title.
Now, I know you listen. And you hear us talk about a lot of stuff, and some stuff is great, some stuff we're idiots, I get that. But when you hear fans, and I know you probably listen to the post-game show and all that stuff, when you hear fans get on Craig, and I've said, for what Craig Counsell is asked to do using the analytics and the way you guys use starting rotations and bullpens, he makes on average 6 to 7 moves on average a game, okay? Multiply that out per 162 games, there's the amount of moves that he makes. So at what percentage, as a fan, do you say is acceptable? Because he can't make every move perfect. Because sometimes it's just the player doesn't feel it, like you say. When you hear fans criticize Craig, give me your thought.
Well, it's tough because they're going on the superficial, just what they're seeing. You know, there's a whole lot of game planning that's been put in place before the game even starts on matchups. They have numbers that no one would even – they would look at the sheet and go, how do you read these?
Right.
You know, all these –
it's like
numbers.
Hieroglyphics, right?
So Craig is great at putting guys in positions that are there. They're going to succeed. He's awesome at it. Mm-hmm. He's great at using the analytics from upstairs, but he's great at having feel how a player is doing at the moment and putting those guys in. So it is hard. I know a manager will get a lot of blame when things don't go perfectly. But the way he keeps that clubhouse intact, especially last year, I mean, expectations, right, were huge coming out of spring training. And some Corey Knebel gets hurt. We just had some – Jeremy Jeffress didn't pitch as well. Mm-hmm. So these guys you were counting on in the bullpen, man, just weren't there. Some guys get banged up. And how do we keep this thing rolling?
Right.
So those are things that get overlooked, the way you keep guys together. And that's our big model. Stay connected. That's our huge motto for the team. So stay connected. Don't let guys start wavering. Don't let start guys talking negative. Let's go. Right. Let's keep being positive. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. So you know, the goal is always that prize at the end of the season, and that never gets lost.
You mentioned Corey Knebel first and foremost. Have you seen him? Have you talked to him? Has he thrown at all? Is he doing okay? Or where's his progress?
Yeah, he was actually the last couple weeks as he came into the as we're going through play, he was out there playing catch already. He was throwing, doing his things. I don't know where he is off the mound right now, but he was throwing, playing catch like that, and he was pumped. He was excited the way he was feeling.
That would be a huge pickup just within itself if you could get him back. And I know there's a lot of rumors out there about the Brewers are listening to trade offers for Josh Hader. I mean, you'd be crazy not to listen to anybody. But I still have a feeling that Hader's going to be back. And if you could get Hader back into doing what Hader does, and if Corey can take over that closer's role, you have really solidified the back end of that bullpen. Because when it was good with Jeffress, Hader, Knebel, bam. What happened to Jeremy?
You know, I don't know. He came to spring training a little bit, just not ready to go.
Yeah.
And I thought the season just kind of caught up to him fast. So I just didn't think he just regained what he had. I mean, it wasn't like it was totally lost. It was just – and then – this game is so mental, so you don't have some success for a little while, even though your stuff might look the same. Man, you can start to lose it and just think, how am I going to get it? And it's crazy. Even at the big league level, some of the guys are like, man, how am I getting a hit? How am I getting this guy out?
Right.
And these are guys like, man, you're great pitchers. You're a former all-star. So it's a humbling game, to say the least.
Yeah.
So. And, you know, even in the year, like in 18, yeah, we had those three guys, Hader, Corey, and Jeffress. But Corey, in all honesty, didn't pitch that well until the last 6 weeks of the season in 18. So, and again, that was an awesome part, I think, for the team in 18, and it kind of carried on through 19, was guys weren't about roles. Guys were like, used, how are we going to help this team win?
Yeah.
So instead of, oh, Corey's not closing today, I need to get this big out in the seventh inning against these righties. Boom, use me.
Yeah.
So I think that's been a great mindset and for the team. Like, hey, it doesn't matter the situation. If you need to be used, we're going to use you. And guys are so open to that.
Craig's all about that too, isn't he? He's all about being communicative in the sense that he will let you know what he wants to use you in. That it's not about you're the closer or you're a setup guy or you're a seventh inning guy. It is about when I need you, I'm going to use you. And then you go out and do your job.
Yeah, and that's like when we talk about game planning and even scripting things. Look at the game, and he'll like say, hey, I remember just walking down, Carsey and I, we walked in the bullpen. He goes, hey, we got to let know Hader might be up in the seventh today.
You know,
hey, we might be using Corey like really early right here, especially if we got the lead and we got these three guys coming up. We're going to go to him.
Is that analytics or is that Craig being smart?
It's both.
Because I've always felt that players that had to earn it the way Craig did throughout his career have a knowledge of the game because it doesn't come easy to them. So they have to study the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It comes easy to them mentally. Physically, it's not the easiest game to play. We all know that. They're not Griffey. Griffey went out and just did it. You know, they're not Rose. Rose just went out and did it. But as a manager, you had to think, and that's what Craig does, is he thinks about situational baseball.
Yeah, all the time. Him and Murphy together, those guys. I mean, Murphy's in front of his computer just coming up with stuff, you know, kind of an out-of-the-box kind of thing. And it's kind of refreshing, you know, because this game has changed. But, yeah, they're so prepared for all kinds of situations, how to stay in games, how to, like, keep leads, even if we're only in the sixth inning, so we can get to that back end of the bullpen, which is a strong suit for us.
Before we go, got to ask you about your Coos for Kids. How's it going?
It's going well, man. Yeah? It's man, the joy we have of just being able to help kids in need. Right now, we teamed up with the Brewers. We're putting in a handicap accessible playground at Penfield.
Okay.
So it's a huge project going on there. We're really excited about. Plus, the kids that we have in our organization that we are able to have baseball challenger leagues, bowling leagues, some who are just terminally ill. We just lost a young girl, Issa Beth, a couple of months ago. It's been hard on the organization, the family. But this is what's really sweet about Children's Hospital. So they were up there for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of kids who are up there a lot of time. So relationships that are made with nurses, with other patients, it's huge. So to be able to make an impact, to help them along, it goes a long way. So if you're out there and you want to make a difference in somebody's life, man, you got Children's Hospital who are kids who are just hurting. We just had Thanksgiving. We have so much to be thankful for. Most of us are health, even finances, whatever it may be at this time. So if you can go donate at the fan online, or if you can just go here and drop off at Blaine's or wherever it is, man, I encourage you guys to do so. It is a great cause, and I'm very fortunate that even with my organization that we get to do those things. Yeah. And it's pretty neat. So yeah, we're just the Coos for Kids project's going pretty well. It's pretty it's awesome.
Coos for Kids, by the way, if they want to find it, where's it at online?
You can go to coosforkids.com.
KOOS.
Yes.
Coosforkids.com.
FOR.
How did it get the name?
My mom and dad came over from Germany, so with their accent, my first name was Markus.
Okay.
So everyone knew me as Coos, and then since we're doing this for the kids, right, it just kind of fit together.
I knew the story. I just don't think anybody else knew, and everybody kept asking me, what is the Coos? But they were thinking it's K's for Kids, and this. And I said, no,
you got it. So I've been very fortunate, very blessed to be in the industry that I am, to get the support from the players, to raise the money that we're doing, right, to be able to help out these kids and just to make an impact, hopefully. And that's the cool thing. You don't need to be the highest man on the totem pole. You just need to be one who wants to do the work.
Right.
So that's kind of the way I look at it for myself. You know?
Good stuff, man. Thanks for coming down again.
Yeah,
buddy.
Thank you guys for doing this. This is huge, you know. Not only that, I think you just had people from the foster care center with the children's. Yeah. My sister-in-law adopted two kids through
really?
The foster services
at
Children's Hospital.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's
so, it's pretty amazing the things that they do there. And
we're pretty blessed in this state to have that. I mean, I grew up in a really good area that had a really good children's hospital system. And when you have one of those in your backyard, man, and it's connected to Frederick, obviously a ton of research and such is done there, it's fantastic.
Yeah, so, again, just very fortunate, very thankful that we can come out here and do the things that you guys do.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for giving the opportunity
it's our pleasure.
Kids.
I'm just lucky to be along for the ride. Good to see you, buddy.
Hey, thank
appreciate
you. Bill.
It.
Appreciate you having me on here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.